Our scripture lessons this morning, the first one comes from Psalm 37, and then of course we'll flip over and read the one verse in the Beatitudes. But I would encourage you to follow along with me, either in the Bibles in the pew, the ones you brought, or you can follow the screen up here. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. And then this from Jesus' mouth in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, these Beatitudes are very hard. They might be easy to listen to, but they're very hard to put into practice in our life because they require so much of us. But we ask that You tenderize our heart so that we can receive it and apply it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A couple of months ago, I was in a bookstore, and I found myself in the religious section. Go figure. And my eyes caught the title of a book called The Faces of Our Savior. I thought, well, that should be interesting because nobody really knows what that face looks like, at least nobody living. And so I flipped it open, and as I looked at it, it was basically paintings of the faces of Jesus that have been done over the centuries. And from an untrained person, they communicated a lot about the person of Jesus Christ. But it seemed like one theme seemed to be constant in all of those paintings. And that is that the people painted Jesus as a weak, wimpy, kind of almost a feminine kind of a person. Now, I know a picture is worth 1,000 words, but I really don't think that they took those 1,000 words from the Bible, because the Bible describes Jesus as anything but weak and wimpy. But it seems to me that so much of our culture, and maybe even us in the Christian faith, we just assume that we're supposed to be weak and wimpy people. I mean, it's not much of a surprise when you tell people that Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian minister. They go, well, of course he was. I mean, look at him. How else could he be? He couldn't be anything else other than, you know, a Presbyterian minister. Or a Christian, for that matter. But the question this morning that we're going to look at is, how did Jesus view this word meek? What did he mean when he said it, when he said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth? I think as we begin this sermon this morning, we need to go back and maybe refresh our memory that these Beatitudes, these attitudes to be, are not multiple choice. They're not a list of options that Jesus has given to us where we can say, well, I like that one and I don't like this one, or I'm pretty good at this one, but I'm going to ignore that one. No, Jesus gave us this list of attitudes to be because he expected his followers to demonstrate these in our lives, every one of them. It's not a list of ideals where the mark is so far up on the wall that nobody can reach them. That wasn't the point. These are goals that each one of us should strive for every single day of the week. In this third beatitude, Jesus says that we should be meek. Not only does he say we're supposed to be meek, but he says, blessed. You have God's blessing if you're meek. So if somebody says that you're meek, consider it a compliment, provided they use it in the biblical context. Now, what did Jesus mean when he talked about meekness? Well, some people, they substitute the word gentle for the word meekness. Some other terms that have been used are people who are unassuming, people that are humble, people that are unpretentious, that kind of thing. Those are all people, all terms that people have used for this meaning of weak. But again, if we're going to understand what Jesus means and how, we have to understand how this third beatitude fits in with the first two, because they're interconnected. In the first beatitude, we're told that blessed are the poor in spirit, and they're blessed because they understand their bankruptcy before God. They understand and acknowledge their sin before God. They know that nobody can pay the debt of sin to God that they've accumulated in life. The second beatitude is that after people understand intellectually their sin, then emotionally they mourn over the sin that they've committed, over the sins that they've committed. And so as we catch a glimpse of who we are, as we catch a glimpse of our sin and we mourn over that sin, then the logical outcome of that is that it changes the way that we treat other people. It changes our hearts. Because certainly, if you acknowledge your sin and you mourn over your sin, you're not going to be, or at least hopefully, you cannot be a person who is meek, because a person who is meek also mourns over their sin and acknowledges it. You can't be arrogant and egotistical if you want to be the first two or three of these beatitudes. You see, a person who's meek is somebody who understands their condition, and so they live their life with a spirit of gentleness, spirit of compassion for others. A meek person is somebody who learns from other people. There are people that are able to take and listen and learn from even the worst sermon or from the worst teacher. And the reason why they're able to learn is because they're able to listen to people. They know how to listen to folks. And the reason why they're able to listen to people is because they respect others. They think of others and they understand that people have value. And so they're willing to listen. They're willing to learn. You know how much you can learn from other people if you're not condescending toward them, if you're not angry with them, if you think they actually have something to say and you respect them? It's a definition of somebody who is meek, somebody who is willing to learn, somebody who is teachable. You see, this image that we should have in mind of somebody who is meek is not somebody who is some spineless character that we can walk over, but somebody who has a humble character, somebody we can walk to. A meek person is somebody who is approachable. And while we know that we won't walk over them, we also know that they will not walk over us. A number of years ago, when I was in training for my sales job in orthopedics, I was traveling with my boss. His name was George. And if any of you have ever read the book, Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think George was the model for that book and for his words. He was the consummate gentleman, just an incredibly strong Christian man, gentle and humble of heart. And so one day as we're traveling along, we stopped and had an appointment with this orthopedic surgeon. And the surgeon started in on talking to George. I was just there, like I said, in training, been on the job about a month. And the doctor starts talking about this problem that he has with one of our products. And he starts criticizing the product and talking about all the problems that he has with it. And he goes from talking about the problem he has with the product to then talking about how George should run his business. And I'm sitting there, and as I'm listening to this, and George, of course, is just listening and nodding his head, and he's being very engaging with the person, not saying anything that would be considered critical in any way, shape, or form. But as I'm sitting there watching this, I'm getting angry. Because I realize, as I listen to this doctor, I realize that the problem is not with our product. The problem is this doctor doesn't know how to use our product. But I didn't say anything. And so when the doctor was all done, George sat there and he said, he just sort of nodded his head and said, well, thank you for that. He says, but now let me give you an alternative way to use this. Some other surgeons have found it helpful. Those were his words. In other words, you don't know what you're doing. Just let me help you a little bit. And in the most gracious way imaginable. I mean, the surgeon had no clue that when George was done, what had happened. But in the gracious way possible, George just said, you know, this is the way you use this. And I sat there and I walked out as a 25-year-old. I said, wow. You know, that was meekness in action. We often think of meekness as somebody who lacks power, and that's a huge mistake. The meek are not weak. Don't confuse the two. Somebody has described meekness as power under control and channeled in the right direction. It's a great definition. We get a good illustration of what this kind of character is in the life of Jesus, of course, in Luke, the 9th chapter. Jesus is walking with his disciples, traveling through the area of Samaria. And it's getting close to the end of the day, and they realize they need a place to be able to spend the night. And so they send a couple of the disciples on ahead to try to find a place where they could spend the night. Unfortunately, none of the Samaritans were going to provide or were willing to provide any kind of hospitality for them. And for James and John, it really, really irritated them. They were angry. And although it's not in the text, you can almost hear the conversation they're having with one another as they're walking back to the rest of the group, to Jesus and the rest of the group, saying things like, I can't believe those stupid, idiotic, half-breed Samaritans. They don't know anything about our culture. They don't know anything about providing hospitality to people. Don't they know who Jesus is? Don't they know he's the Son of God? We've got to do something about this. So upon arriving back to where Jesus is, they explain to Jesus what was going on. And they are just absolutely incensed. And what do they say? They say, Jesus, you know, should we command fire to come down from heaven and just torch these people? Now, I want to make two side comments to this. And I've paraphrased it. Two side comments. One is, they had a right to be angry. You see, if you know anything about the ancient Near East, or even the Middle East today, you understand that hospitality is king. That even if people don't know you, if you end up on somebody on a Bedouin's front step, they will offer you hospitality. Food, drink, and a place to spend the night. That was just part of the culture. So for the Samaritans not to offer that to them was incredibly rude. So they had a point. They were right. The second observation is, can you believe that these are two people whose books are in the Bible? It's a great solution they came up with, right? Let's torch these guys. You know, now, the other side observation I want to make about this is, you know, the truth is I think if all of us had the power of Jesus to do that, my guess is there'd be at least one or two people that would be charcoal in our lives. I'm not asking for you to raise your hands, but I'm just thinking that there's probably a couple people in your past that you would make charcoal. But what does Jesus do? What does he say? He turns their attention from their navel and lifts it up to the sky. He says to them, do you understand why we're here? Do you understand our purpose? Do you understand what I'm all about? I came not to destroy people's lives. I came to save them. And Luke adds as a footnote, he says, so they went on to another village. Meekness, the way that the Bible describes it, knows nothing about some quick-tempered explosion of power. Nothing about that. The meek person has their power under control, and it's precisely because they have their power under control that makes them so powerful. But notice something else. It's the meek person who takes that power and they use it not for their own agenda. They use it for the benefit and for the well-being of other people. Meekness is something that delights God. It's something that He approves of. But the absence of meekness can cause a great deal of harm in our lives. When the power under control is exchanged for power out of control, when respect for other people is substituted for condescension of others, then a great number of people can get harmed. Somebody has called this kind of characteristic closet meeklessness. I want you to know that there's a surprising number of women and children who live their lives in fear because of this. And because it's in the closet, they can't tell anybody, and that makes the pain even worse. Of course, what I'm talking about is a man's explosive temper. Something sets him off, and nobody really knows what it is. Pretty soon, his voice is angry, and his face is a mask of rage. And he begins to abuse his wife and his children, either physically or verbally. And then when all of the damage has been done, then the person comes back and he begins to apologize and say how sorry he is, and it will never happen again. And sometimes it's because of alcohol, and sometimes it's not. But what this person doesn't understand is the incredible emotional damage. The physical damage is one thing. The emotional damage is long-lasting that he has done to the family. The whole family lives under the tyranny of the temper. And so they spend their lives walking around on eggshells, hoping that they don't set him off again. If that describes you or your family, you need to be in therapy, in counseling this week. If it describes somebody you know and love, you need to encourage them to be in counseling this week. Understand, secondly, that kind of meeklessness is repulsive to God. I mean, if you consider for a moment, if God treated you like that, you wouldn't be a grease spot in the garage. And in failing to be meek, you show how weak you really are. But having said all that, I want you to understand that that's not a problem just for men, that all of us, in some way, shape, or form, are closet meeklessness people. That if you think that you are the center of the universe, if you think that the world revolves around you, that things have to go the way that you want, your wishes, your dreams, your fulfillment comes number one, then you will never have a spirit of meekness inside you. If you're the kind of person who always has to be right, if you're the kind of person who thinks in black and white kinds of thinking, you will not have that spirit of meekness within inside you. Probably your life, because it's filled with aggression and it's filled with arrogance, you're going to find yourself bumping up against people a lot in conflict. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, People that are gentle and humble of heart, that understand how to channel and control the power that God has given them. Well, the other question, I guess, comes out of that is, how are we supposed to handle the problems of everyday life? How do we handle it when somebody criticizes us? How are we supposed to deal with that? Jesus' answer to us is two things. One is a good memory and meekness. You see, we need a good memory because, again, we need to go back and remember who we are in the eyes of God. We are sinners. Sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. We need to always keep that in front of us as we deal with other people. Because if we forget that for a split second, then we become condescending. Then we become more irritable. Then we become angry a lot easier. When we remember who we are, when we remember to see us as God sees us, when we remember to mourn over our sins, then, when we have that ability to be gentle and humble and unpretentious and unassuming with other people, it's pleasing to God. Blessed are those who are meek. We'll treat people differently when we approach them with that kind of an attitude. What's the reward for people that are meek? Well, Jesus says that they will inherit the earth. That phrase, as you might have figured, comes right out of Psalm 37. Why I read it. Psalm 37 talks about the evil that is in the world, and it encourages, it's sort of a compare and contrast. On the one hand, it says this is what the evil is doing to the world. But then it also says, as Christians, you are not to be anxious. As Christians, you are to be faithful in your obedience to God. Jesus said, blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. You understand that an inheritance isn't something that you earn, not something that you can buy. It's something that's given to you because somebody cares for you. So Jesus says, for those people that are willing to recognize their sin, for those people that are willing to mourn over their sin, and as a result of that, they then treat people with meekness and with kindness and with humility and with gentleness. Those are the kinds of people. They will be rewarded not with a trip to Disney World. They will be rewarded with something far greater, far grander. They will be rewarded with an inheritance like the earth. You see, the arrogant and the power seekers, they're not going to inherit the earth. Now, the Napoleons, the Hitlers, the wizards on Wall Street, the power brokers in the corporate boardrooms, you know, the famous celebrities and the athletes, they're not going to inherit the earth. They think they may. They think they might own it. But before we start pointing too many fingers at them, understand that we are them as well. Understand that Christians, too, find an incredible amount of ridiculous things to complain about and fight over, all in the name of Jesus Christ, of course. But that we are there, too. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. The meek are the people that understand that anything that they receive in life comes from the gracious hand of God, because what they deserve is hell. And knowing that, they keep their power under control. And they treat people with kindness and gentleness. And they walk humbly with their God. May it be so for each one of us this week. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, it's so much easier to say the words than it is to live them. Much easier to read them than it is to apply them to our life. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be people who are meek, people that love you, people that love others. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.